coronavirus. We're joined right now by Dr. Scott Hardman, who is with Urgent Specialists and Gateway ENT. He is an ear, nose, and throat specialist, but very involved in healthcare policy. And Dr. Hardman, I understand you even met with President Trump last month at Mar-a-Lago.
That's right. I did. If you call it meeting, watching him across the room, but it was exciting to be in the presence of anything like that's always fun.
Well, yeah, I can't say that I was in a room like that. So you do a call, and I want to focus here on testing because obviously we get these numbers every day. We get the the positive numbers, the death numbers. All these things are very scary. I think we all understand that not enough people have been tested. So when you are talking with physicians from across the country, what is the latest on testing and where we're at, and should we be encouraged that more testing perhaps is on the way?
Well, I think definitely be encouraged that more testing is on the way. That's really how we're going to get a sense of how this is affecting the country by and large. Where we are currently is that the majority of testing that's being done is still these what are called PCR tests that are done at fairly designated centers, largely through hospital systems and health departments, et cetera. They are pretty accurate. The CDC developed the technology for the test system in the United States, although they've been replicated from other tests across the world. Lately, there's a movement that you've probably seen out there about using antibody tests, which are probably the next evolution in this. And all of these tests have their limitations. I think the PCR tests, which are pretty accurate, are challenging in that there can only be done in very expensive lab equipment, only so many runs a day. And so we're testing people that meet very strict criteria, trying to find those ones that are sickest and get them into treatment. But, there's a lot of folks in the community that have had milder symptoms that could potentially be spreading this, and also that have milder symptoms or moderate symptoms that might potentially have some treatment options available to them. And so as the antibody tests hopefully will come online here in the next 1 to 2 weeks or so or sooner, we may be able to see more testing being done at that point of care, such as out in their primary doctor's office or urgent cares or walk-in facilities, to be able to get a little better sense of what the real numbers are. Are there more people who've had this and has some immunity to it, or are there more people getting sick in certain communities versus others?
Yeah, that's a real key. And I want you to explain a little bit about the antibody test, because, look, there is hope, obviously. I featured an email last week on my show from a friend who was relatively asymptomatic, and he had family members who had coronavirus. So if we could get people tested that would test positive, or it would show us that they had the coronavirus, that would give us an opportunity to get them out perhaps, in the workforce quicker. That's at least part of the equation here.
That's right. So the PCR test, and this is beginning to be pretty common knowledge, but the PCR tests look largely at just the molecular makeup of the virus. So they help to replicate and identify the RNA in the virus versus DNA in our cells. And the antibody tests really look more at what your body's immune response has done to that. So there's early phases of antibodies that go up when someone's been exposed to the first, say, 1 to 14 days or so. And then as those numbers drop off, the second phase where the convalescent antibodies begin to kick in, and you can track those numbers as well to get a sense of what that hopeful immunity would be. I think there's still some question marks out there how long someone can remain immune or have resistance to this virus, sort of like we do with influenza, need to have booster vaccines down the road, et cetera. But it gives us, I think, if they can be done accurately and done largely, you can get a sense of where people are. If they're convalescing and they're no longer shedding the virus or less of that, then absolutely potentially you can get back out into the workforce.
Is it realistic to have enough of that testing done by, say, June that would be helpful, or are we still going to be, months away from really good data there?
No, I think that's going to happen fairly quickly. Every single day, the number of PCR tests that are being done continuing to increase. There are some point of contact tests through Abbott that are going to be PCR tests that can be done that take about 5 minutes to do. Right now, the standard testing there tends to be anywhere from several hours to as much as 24 hours or longer. Some of the sendaways are even 4 or 5 days, depending on where the lab that runs them are located. The antibody tests, the cartridges or the cassettes available to do those are, from what I hear, ready to ship from a number of the distributors around, and hopefully they will fall into place. They'll probably be triaged into hot zone areas where there's more right now, but it's a good way if you can really rely upon those tests, which is the key. And no one test is 100% perfect. You have to take in the context of what the patient's clinical condition is, but they can be very helpful. If you can identify a community that has potentially no circulating antibody, and then you start to see those early phases begin to jump up, it potentially could give you an idea that it's starting to move into that location, and you can be, you know, more cautious with social distancing, et cetera, versus communities where they're in more of that late phase, and what you're testing more are the antibody levels that come up later as people convalesce. That's extremely useful information.
You know, I've said, and am I fooling myself, that those of us, now we still have to follow social distancing, make some smart moves, but I feel like in Missouri, in the St. Louis area, we're relatively insulated from what's going on in the hot spots, and hopefully in much better condition here.
I think that's true. There's definitely a fair number of cases here, but I think the physicians, and they're managing this, are doing a good job at trying to curtail a lot of aggressive care. The hospitals are, you know, they're, to my knowledge, are not really being overrun just yet. Everyone's kind of, you know, working to try and blunt that curve, as they say, and it seems as if we're currently in a pretty good position. So I think social distancing is a big part of that. People wearing masks, a big part of it. You wanted to slow the transmission as best you possibly can.
Do you have an opinion? I've seen a little bit about this in the last couple of days, where physicians might be more at risk for this. When you have more exposure to the virus, that you perhaps become sicker. Does that question make sense from my standpoint,
yeah.
Non-medical related?
Yeah. No, I think it absolutely does. I think there's, you know, certain key specialties out there, like mine, for instance, that work around the head and face a lot. There's potential for a larger viral load. So when dealing with someone who is acutely ill and very sick or repetitive exposures, your potential viral load that you get exposed to early on, it seems as if that tends to translate into a more aggressive course for the person who received that exposure.
Mm-hmm. Viral load was the name that I was, you know, trying to come up with, which ordinarily might be a good band name. In this case, I think we're going to just ditch that.
Not so much. That's right.
No. Dr. Scott Hartman, good information. Really, thank you so much for helping us out this afternoon.
You bet. Thanks, Mark. And y'all stay safe.